Welcome to And With Your Spirit, a homily podcast that takes preaching out of the sanctuary and moves it into your daily life. Let us make ourselves open to the voice of Christ and the movement of the Holy Spirit, that we might be transformed.
So today we complete our final segment of attitude adjustment. And so if you're ready for this to be over, today's your day. But what we've said about this whole series is that we need to adjust our attitudes towards the virtue of humility. And we've said a lot of things about humility over the last few weeks. There's a lot of misunderstanding about humility. Many times people think it's a sign of weakness and a lack of ambition and insecurity. But that's not what humility really is. Humility is thinking of ourselves or seeing ourselves as we truly are. You know, C.S. Lewis says that humility is not thinking less of ourselves, but thinking of ourselves less. In the last 3 weeks, we've talked about humility, and the beginning of humility is starting with listening. That we acknowledge that when we listen to someone else, we acknowledge that perhaps someone else might have an answer that we ourselves do not have. And principally, that's God. God has all the answers. And so one of the first steps towards humility is listening to God in prayer, in the scriptures, and in church teaching. And then the next week we talked about one of those obstacles that get in the way of humility, which is something we all do, is comparing ourselves to others. And so sometimes when we compare ourselves to others, we succeed in that comparison. So we say, well, I'm better than that person because I'm better at them than this, this, and that. And that leads us to pride. Or if we fall short in the comparison, like if someone else is better than us, we become jealous, envious, maybe even hateful towards those persons. So the comparison trap never allows us to see ourselves as we truly are. And then last week we read that prodigal son, that beautiful parable that Jesus told us, and that we need to be humble in owning our mistakes and then in turning back to a loving father. Because when we do that, we always get a new beginning. And so today, that's kind of the same. I want to talk about the benefits of humility in acknowledging our sin. Yes, I said it. Sin. Sin is a dirty word. We don't like it. It makes us squirm in our seats. And many times, people just rationalize their sin away. I can't tell you how many times people have come up to me and said, Father, is that still a sin? It's still a sin. It's not changed. And so sin is very dangerous. It's a very dangerous thing. Imagine if we just look at our souls, if we could see physically what our souls look like, you might ought to do that and do an imaginative thing. What does my soul look like if I could see it? You know, when we commit sins, it damages our souls. Sin damages our relationship with God. Sin damages our relationship with one another. Sin, again, damages ourselves. So we can say that sin is very dangerous. And I don't say that to shame any of us. I just say it in all objectivity. And over the last 40, 50 years, sin and morality has just been watered down. We call it weakness. We call it a struggle. We don't call it for what it is. But see, folks, if you don't acknowledge that you're sick, you'll never go to the doctor. And Christianity 101 is that the Son of God became a human person for what? The forgiveness of sins. And so if we don't acknowledge our sins and confess them, how can God save us from that which we do not acknowledge? Sin is dangerous. And in our gospel this morning, there's a very dangerous situation. There are two very dangerous situations. One, Jesus is in a dangerous situation. And this lady, for obvious reasons, is in a very extremely dangerous situation. First of all, Jesus is put in this dilemma. The Pharisees, they know exactly what they're doing. They bring this woman to her who was caught in adultery. How they did that, I don't know. You might want to think about it, or don't think about it. But I also wonder, where's the guy, you know? Where is he? Who knows? But they bring this woman caught in adultery. And they say to her, should she be stoned? They know what they're doing because, you see, if Jesus says that she should be stoned, it puts him in a problem with the Roman elites. Because Jesus has no authority to put anyone to death. And so if he says, yes, she should be stoned, he's in trouble with the law. But if he says, no, she shouldn't be stoned, then it puts him in trouble with the Jewish law, because the Jewish law did say that anyone caught in adultery should be put to death. So he has no way out, seemingly. And then even this woman, she has her back against the wall. It says that she was caught in the very act, so we know that she is guilty, but she gets saved. This is a very dangerous situation. And you see, anytime that you see a woman in the gospel, you should think of yourself. Because all throughout Scripture, even in the Old Testament, there's this nuptial language between God and his people. The Israelites were God's chosen people, and many times they were unfaithful to God. You see, sin is just spiritual adultery. Sin is being unfaithful to God. And so anytime we do that, we commit spiritual adultery. There's all kinds of language that supports that in the Old Testament. And so this woman who is caught in adultery, she is symbolic for the church, for all of us. She symbolizes all of us in our infidelity, in our sinfulness. And can you imagine how dangerous this situation is without Jesus? Without Jesus, this woman is dead. Without Jesus, this woman has nowhere to turn. You know, in dangerous situations, we have a natural emotional response. It's called fight or flight. And we usually respond to those things in order to protect ourselves. But when it comes to sin, if we fight or flight, we don't acknowledge it. And this woman shows us the beautiful way to react when it comes to our own sin. We don't fight it, nor do we flee from it. We acknowledge it. We stand in it. Because Jesus can make a way. Jesus can make a way. We've all got our sins. They've got us pinned up against the wall. They have us held bound down that we can't escape. This woman had no way out. She was surrounded by these angry men with stones in their hands. Can you imagine if you were in that situation? You would think you're dead. I'm done. But Jesus saves her. Jesus saves her. He says, woman, has anyone condemned you? No, sir. Neither do I. Go and sin no more, he says. You see, when you have been saved by Jesus, when you realize the dangerous reality of sin and what it can do to us, and then you in turn realize what Jesus has done for each and every one of us, our relationship with God can never be the same. It would be like if someone jumped out in front of a bus for you and pushed you out. Your relationship with that person can never be the same. I was talking to a man earlier. He was left half dead. He was running a marathon, and he passed out, and he fell down a ravine. And he was there for several hours, and a guy, he stopped by just on the side of the road to take a drink of water, and he looked down, and he saw the man. And that man told me that other guy, a stranger, saved his life. And he thinks about that man every day. He cannot be, that his life is changed in relationship with that man. That's the same for all of us. I hope we're not here out of fear of obligation and duty. I hope we're here because we acknowledge the danger of sin and what Jesus Christ can do for us. Now, I know the word sin makes us squirm, and it should. But we shouldn't fight it, and we shouldn't flee from it. We should be like this woman and be humble and acknowledge that we are sinners and that Jesus can make a way.